I wanted to introduce myself. Dwight Walters is my name, and I serve as the regional Northeast Regional Coordinator. And happy and privileged to do that. So I grew up in Rangers, was a Ranger when I was a boy, and I've had the opportunity to serve in many different leadership capacities. And I have four children, married, and I live in Delaware. Most people say Delaware. So, or they ask what state is Delaware in. So it is a state. It was the first state. It's on the East Coast. So check it out sometime. A great place to live. I also serve in a professional role at a large engineering company as a vice president. We're based out of Baltimore, and I head up our Delaware operations. And that opportunity has given me some great opportunities to get cross-trained into dealing with people and organizational structures. And I thank God for that. I get training here in Rangers that I use at work, and I get training at work that I use at Rangers. So it's pretty awesome, and that's why we're here today. We're going to introduce you guys to really some methods that's going to help you as a district and as regions and even sections to organize your staff and your structure to help carry through with these great things that we've learned about growing Rangers to the next level and about aligning ourselves. So we're going to get right into that. First, I wanted to ask you, first of all, is there anyone here that has the first name Morris? Anyone? First name Morris? Okay, we're safe. Okay, Commander Morris, okay, was taken over as a new district director, okay, and his predecessor sat down with him, had a great meeting with him, and wanted to give him some advice on how to take charge of this very large and successful district. So Commander, the predecessor sat down with Commander Morris, and he said, listen here, if you guys ever get in trouble as a district, you ever get in any kind of trouble, here's three envelopes. I want you to put them in your desk drawer, and when you get in trouble, go ahead and start with number one, and it'll help you out. So things were going very well for 6 months or so, and then the charters start to slip a little bit, and Commander Morris started to panic a little bit, but he remembered, I'm going to go to my desk drawer. So he pulled out envelope number one, and he pulled it out, and it read, blame your predecessor. So Commander Morris called this big district roundtable together, and he had all the leaders there, and he tactfully put the blame on the predecessor. And you know what? It worked. Everybody agreed, hey, that sounds like a good reason why we're not doing well, and they rallied around that reason. And they had success for about 3 months or so. They saw a couple charters come back in line. But again, things fell on rough grounds. And this time the superintendent was calling. And he got a call actually through the he got his district trends report that, you know, the district's got. And he got that call from Jim Allen here at the national office. Says, you guys got to straighten up. So he, again, remembered his envelopes, trusty envelope. And this one he pulled out, number two. He pulled out, and it just simply said one word, reorganize. So he went ahead and said, oh, it sounds like a great idea. I'm going to go ahead and reorganize my staff, come up with maybe split my district up into divisions, and maybe assign a new division coordinator and change the portfolios around a little bit on the staff. And you know what? It worked. Things started moving up. They even had more GMAs. They had more medals, they had all kind of good stuff happening. But again, 6 months later, troubles. So finally he went to envelope number three in desperation this time. Didn't know where else to go. And this one simply read, prepare three envelopes. Isn't that funny? Somehow the way we handle our problems, there's always some sort of solution, and it works for a little while. And the goal here today is to help you guys not come up with a solution like that to deal with the issues that we're having. And we're having issues. If districts, you got your reports and the growth numbers, the number of medals, I know there's success out there, but overall, we're having issues as a ministry right now, and we need to address those. So again, we're here to help try to point the way to a balance, basically having a disciplined alignment with national and district and local ministries like we've discussed, Commander Marsh, and but also having maximum flexibility within the districts to allow you to organize your structure to make it work, make it successful. So one thing that we need to do is keep that in balance. We need to have a healthy balance there. And any healthy district is going to do four things. The district is going to grow. And we talked about that growth through their charters and through the number of boys and men attending their district-wide events. It'll be a natural byproduct of a healthy district. The second is develop, and we've talked extensively about the development process, being a strong adult and junior leadership and training program within your districts. That has to be part of a healthy district. Number three is they relate well. They have a solid reputation for serving others, strengthening current leaders. They know their pastors well. They know their superintendents. District directors know their superintendents. You have a relationship with them. A quick story here. Did you see Reverend Carl Coletti on the video? He's the district superintendent for New Jersey. I just had a situation there where we lacked communication. We had a regional conference at a facility about a mile down the street, large church, next to their district office, and we failed to communicate and let him know that we were coming to town. And by the way, we had a national, our speaker tonight, Reverend Doug Clay was our speaker, and we failed to communicate with that superintendent. And I say we, I say me, I say national, I say district, everybody failed, and we didn't let him know. And he wasn't the happiest camper. So, and he called and made it known in a nice way, very nice way. But I decided to build that fix that situation by building a relationship. And I didn't do it right away, but a few days later, I was in the area working and found an opportunity to slide by without an appointment, knock on his door, and it was the only the Holy Spirit that you can get an appointment with a district super. I walked right into his office. He ushered me in, sat down, and we started to build an awesome relationship. And the lack of communication was pushed aside. That was put apart, and now I think he's looking at Rangers in a whole different light. They have a great bunch of guys in New Jersey, but for me to do that, that's what we need to do, guys, to help build relationships. And be cross-functional with other ministries. And we're going to demonstrate that through Ranger Interactive this year, with being cross-functional and not having it be a competition between us and youth and girls' ministries. And finally, we need to sustain ourselves financially. We'll talk about that later with chartering and events. The next slide I want to point out is something that blends very nicely with this concept of healthy ministry. This is something, it's the steps of a healthy organization. And we are an organization. This book is the four obsessions of an extraordinary executive. You as district directors are executives, whether you know it or not. You're executives, your staff is an executive team. And this, even though it's for business purposes, it relates to ministry. The next chart that you're going to see shows that those steps. And the very first part of that is building and maintaining a cohesive leadership team. That sounds like relationships to me. It's knowing and trusting your team and being able to hold them accountable without them getting upset at you. Is you have to have a relationship with the person to hold them accountable. Is that right? You really do. So that's the first step. The organizational clarity, we'll talk about that, being the strategic direction and the mission. And our national team has laid that out for us, really, at a national level. Communication, we just talked about it. We have to communicate that clarity. You can come up with your direction as a district, and if you do not communicate it to your district, it's going nowhere. So you need to do that. And finally, the top one here, guys, is what we tend to focus on most, and that is the human systems. Commander Doug referred to it as methods, okay, the methods. And we need to get away from that. We need to stop looking at that as the main reason we exist. It's not. It's the mission. That's the reason we exist. So moving on to the next slide. A pyramid is known for its stability, right? It is one of the most stable things. things that have ever existed. The Egyptians found that out, certainly. And at the bottom of that pyramid, certainly we have God as our foundation. But the next thing we have is God using who? Who does he use? He uses us, so people. If you would hit the next button there, the people, we need to be a people-focused ministry. Is that true? And not program-focused. So keep that in mind, being people-focused. As we do that, we need to consider our environment, and we're going to see a little bit later here, the environment of external and internal considerations. And if you look at a program, it is mechanically run. And we have a lot of outposts out there that are trying their hardest to run this ministry of Rangers like a program, just like National has prescribed it, and just trying to do everything just right. And their philosophy is, if we build it, if we make it just right, if we have our district event, our district powwow, our big event, just right, then everybody will come and we'll see growth. It doesn't work that way. We can spend so much energy trying to build it just right, and if we're not people-focused, we're missing it. We are missing it. You guys have been at events. I have been at one. The one that really grabs me to this example is a Pinewood Derby. I've worked at Pinewood Derbies. You have too. It is so hot and heavy, and just everything has to be done perfectly, and you got cars and kids and parents who have built most of the kids' cars. Upset if you do something wrong. If you're sitting at the finish line and you're not focused and make the right call, they're throwing stuff at you. They're upset. And you get so focused in the program. I caught myself just even last year. I had an assignment, and I did my assignment well. But at the end of the day, I realized I didn't even get up and say hi to the boys or talk with the parents. And I felt like the day was a failure, even though my kids won all the trophies because I built all their cars. You know, it still felt bad that, you know, I focused on the program and not the people. So, and a lot of leaders slip into that. How do they do it? They usually do it over time. We heard Commander Jonathan yesterday talk about leadership divided and how you have emerging leaders and seasoned leaders. And most of us in here are seasoned leaders, and we do it over time. We slip into that program-focused mode. And why do we do it? Because ministry involves people, and it's messy when you get people involved, is it not? It's messy. Feelings get hurt. Dealing with people, commitments are not upheld, and you as a leader get discouraged. So it's easier to focus on program, and we need to get out of it. And excuses of it are, hey, at least I'm doing God's will, or God will find me faithful. I'm doing my part and leaving the rest to God, or the results to God. People get defensive, saying people don't volunteer the way they used to. But these are all really mechanisms to defend, like Commander Marsh was saying, the defender attitude. We need to get out of that. And we need to realize that only when you deal with people will it be so gratifying, and God will give you the strength to do that. And that's when it is successful. The next slide talks about vision and values. And once again, these things have really been laid out for us, guys, through the Nationals effort. And we really should have the same values, whether we're, you know, at national or district level and even local. The values do not change. Our vision has been laid out for us, and it really will not change from national to district. These are things that we're talking about being in alignment, okay? But we have to understand that we have to have that vision. If we don't have vision, the people will do what? They'll perish. The Bible tells us that, and it's so true. And it's true in business, too. It's true in our families, and it's true in this ministry, by all means. You guys, as leaders, you're dealers in hope, and you can never forget that. You're dealers in hope. And in order to do that, you must be spiritually plugged in. You've got to have the embers burning hot. You've got to be in the Word. You've got to be at church, leading by example as leaders. I think we'll all agree with that. But you know what else? We cannot do it on our own strength. If we try to do it on our own strength, we're in trouble. So we have to rely on God. Moving to the next slide, we're going to talk a little bit about this process that we're wanting you as districts and regions to go through when you go back. If you hear all this and you do not take these steps as a district, it'll be lost. The efforts here will be lost. So take the time to do this. The first is, and these are, again, ways to organize or possibly reorganize your districts. You've seen some new operational guidelines. There's some new terminologies out there. So it's a good time to assess your current staff and the mission of your staff and reassess it. Things you need to look at are the external considerations. And here we're talking about four things. We call them SWOT in business. It's strength, weakness, opportunity, threats. Here they're mentioned as opportunities, threats, technologies, and resources. You're going to find this on page 40 and 41 of your magazine. It's a nice big chart there with a rocket. Opportunities. These are going to be different for each of your districts, but a few examples. Homeschool. Okay, homeschool is an opportunity, at least in our area. Homeschoolers love Rangers, and we need to take advantage of that. We really do. When we get to National Ranger of the Year testing, most of those guys are homeschooled. They're sharp guys. Homeschool parents and organizations love to use the Ranger curriculum. It's an opportunity, guys, so take advantage. Threats could be our economy. Our economy is in trouble now. We all know that, and that could be a threat. So we need to recognize that and figure out a way to overcome that. A threat could be a gang if you're in a city and gang activity. I've heard several commanders say, hey, gangs are threats to what we're trying to do in Rangers. As long as we recognize that and try to figure out a solution to overcome it. Technologies, the obvious, iPods, Facebook, computers in general, Xboxes, video games. These are technologies that are out there that we need to consider, take advantage of, use to our advantage. And resources. These could be geographical resources, things that really may be specific. They will be specific to your district, so consider those. We need to consider the needs of the churches and the boys. What are the unique characteristics of our area? It'll be different for each region, each state, each district. It'll be different. And finally here, the expectations of our district leadership. Guys, if we will not know the expectations of our district leadership if we don't ask them, okay? And usually a cold call to ask someone anything is not the way to do it. It's not the way to do it in business or ministry. This is where the relationship comes in. If you have a relationship with that district superintendent or your pastor, you can sit down at Starbucks and you can ask them, what are your expectations for this district ministry or our local outpost? And you can't do that unless you have that relationship. In business, we learned a technique called Mandeville technique. And our goal as a business person was to find out what the scope and expectation, scope of work from our client. And the way we did that was we sat down and we didn't do a lot of talking. Okay, we threw out a few questions to get the thing going and we listened. And we listened for key words that we wrote down so that we could continue the conversation and basically get those expectations out of our clients. Your clients, district directors and district staff, it's your district superintendent and the pastors in your district. Those are folks that you want to find out what their expectations are so we can grow this ministry. That's it. So remember that. The internal considerations, you guys, most of you folks in this room have learned these already. The question is whether you're putting them in praxis. At the World Class Outpost, we learned ministry gifts, and we learned personality traits, and you need to consider this for your team. You need to find out who is the best team that you can put in place and make sure they're gifted in that area. Like Commander Doug just said, the gift of woo. I mean, that's a ministry gift. And you need to have a person in that position that can handle that type of activity. And if you guys took World Class Outpost 2 or 3 or 4 years ago when we took it here, remember? You raise your hand. and you have never pulled out the ministry gift or the personality profile to go ahead and give it to a new staff member, then shame on you. Pull it out and use it again and again. Once you develop a relationship, sometimes you can identify these gifts without having them take a test. Okay, that's a more professional way to do it. But hey, I've done it. Even with our team at work, we went through this process, and I found it very helpful to know the gifts and get them in the right place. Jim Collins, Good to Great, mentions a few things in his book about getting the right people on the bus. Okay, and that is a huge thing if we're going to succeed in Rangers. Our bus is our district team or our regional team, and it's our goal as directors and coordinators to get the right people on the bus. Okay, and that's through internal considerations like these strengths and weaknesses of our leaders. Okay, the second goal is to get those right people in the right seats on that bus. Okay, because you've all been on a bus, kids' bus, and they're all over the place, and it's chaos. But if you got them in the right seats, then we're ready to get that bus rolling in the direction that we need to go. So keep that in mind as you look at those internal considerations. Rangers is an organism, okay? It will take in raw material from things around it, including human resources, what we feed it with, who we put on our teams. And it will either make that ministry grow or it's going to deplete energy from it. So keep that in mind as you put together your team and you consider these external and internal factors. The next slide looks at that pyramid, and we've built the foundation. We've looked at the values and the vision, and now we're looking, go ahead and move it right on up to the missions and the goals. Okay, these are things, again, that you saw in the alignment section at the last session that Commander Marsh was talking about. These are missions and goals. So your objective as a district team, you can see the action item there. Establish strategic direction and a measurable goals that align again with the grow, develop, and relate portion. And it has to be in alignment with our vision, our mission, our values, and our goals. Okay, that's your assessment as you go and you look at things that are specific now. You're getting up to, hey, what can we do? Last night I met with our regional team, and we identified top three goals in each of our core staff areas. And the key to that, though, guys, is three questions. This is another book I want you to consider by Patrick Lencioni. The title of it, he's got some catchy titles. These are very easy reads, by the way. They're fables, and you can sit down. I'm an engineer, so I hate to read anything but technical stuff. But these are easy reads. You can read them quickly. He's got a book called The Three Signs of a Miserable Job, okay? And he says every employee, okay, whether they're on your executive team or they're working, out in the field, anywhere, every employee needs to answer these three questions. Who am I helping? What difference am I making? And how do I measure success? How do they measure success? And if you guys are setting goals that you can't measure, it's tough. So that's one reason the national office, through the district trends report, is helping you with that. They're giving you some history on numbers, and you can set measurable goals. But the key is how do you measure that success, and what's it going to take for you to get there? The next slide is going to talk about really the structure, org charts. You've all seen them. And we're going to get a little bit into some different ways that you can organize your district teams or your regional teams. There are four ways. They're functional grouping, divisional grouping, geographic, and multi-focused. We're going to jump right into functional, and you guys are very familiar with this. It really is the titles and portfolios that you're familiar with now, like district training coordinator, communications. Commander Marsh mentioned the new position there, outreach coordinator. Okay, these are functional groupings, people with shared knowledge and skills. The next grouping is called divisional grouping. You should be probably not quite as familiar with this, but it's taken the things on that large chart that you looked at, grow, develop, and relate, and it's putting people in areas where you want a desired outcome. Okay? So hopefully you're seeing how this is all fitting together. The third one is what we're what I would call traditional. We're all used to this. You have a district commander. His district is so large, he decides to break it into two divisions, east and west, north and south, either one. And then he decides to break that into sections and areas and so forth. We're all familiar with that. We've been taught that for years. Usually this, it's recommended you try to keep it to a 5 to 7 direct reports. They teach that in the secular world, too. It's hard to keep track of more than about 5 to 7 direct reports. So that's the geographical grouping. What we're recommending here is that pick a grouping that works for your district. And it may be a combination of two or all three of these. But you need to pick a grouping that is going to work for your district and make your organizational structure work for your district. National is not going to dictate which way you do this besides what they've recommended. They've highly recommended the core staff positions to maintain that alignment between national and district and local. So hopefully everyone understands that. You can see where this is the flexibility portion coming into play. Okay. And finally, the number four, this is the last step in your assessment, is to evaluate. If you do all three of the steps and you fail to evaluate, the last step here, you can see on the pyramid, is task. And again, if that's where we start, we're in trouble. Okay? But if we move on to the next slide and we routinely evaluate our districts, National has set a great example here through the QLC program. They've talked to the district directors yesterday about ways to have great ideas come up through the field, through the QLC, through your districts and regions and emails. There's so many ways to communicate things that need to be questioned. They need to be changed and learned and changed. Okay, so as we go through that, there are three things you need to know, though. There's effectiveness, which basically says, do we get it? Do we understand what we're doing as a district? Do we understand that we're not method-driven, but we're mission-driven? Do we get it? Second is efficiency. It basically says, how much effort are we putting forth to get that desired outcome? Are we spending too much energy on a certain activity? We're having 30 commanders run an activity where 5 boys show up. That is not very efficient. And it's just not something that we want to do. It needs to be evaluated and changed. And finally, the relationship, which we've talked quite a bit about, the relationship factor. So again, the assignment here is routinely evaluate outcome by measuring effectiveness, efficiency, and relationships, and then reassess your entire system. Does anything need to change? And if it does, we need to be good enough leaders to go ahead and change it, okay, and make that happen. So in conclusion, if you, again, review the four things that we looked at on our next slide, we assess basically the situation, consider external and internal conditions. We look at our strategic direction. We organize ourselves through the org chart and our human resources and our financial resources. Again, with flexibility. And finally, we evaluate. We're never complacent. We're never happy with the status quo. And we don't want to become complacent. So take time to do that, district directors, with your team. Our national staff has made it very easy for you to do that. They've laid out an application. Take time to do that. I want to tell you guys that I have great respect for each and every one of you for what you do. I know many, many of you in this room do not have this, the luxury of having this as a full-time position, so you're doing this in your spare time. And I understand that, and it means a lot to me to know that this ministry is so successful with the amount of folks that do that. And I love and appreciate you guys doing that. And we want you to be successful. And these tools are designed to do that. So please, whatever you do, use the tools. And I know we will be successful to influence more boys more effectively. So God bless you.